Greetings in Jesus' name, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here this morning, and I want to just give my wife a special happy Mother's Day, and my mother a special happy Mother's Day, and my mother-in-law a special happy Mother's Day. I probably am one of the only ones, or probably the only one here that gets to church with all three, wife, mother, and mother-in-law, the three most influential women in my life. And I count it a privilege and a blessing. So God bless you and all the rest of you mothers as well. I do want to bring a message for you as mothers this morning, and hopefully this comes as a blessing and an encouragement to you, and it's probably more so for younger than older mothers, but I trust we can all find a blessing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, want to thank you and praise you for being here in this service this morning and being with us in our worship and in all that we hear taught from your word. And I pray that you would bless our dear mothers this morning in a special way. And as we celebrate motherhood today, and also going on the rest of the year, Father, our mothers are work tirelessly to serve their families, and we want to honor them, not just today, but the whole year through. Pray that you would bless this sermon this morning, Father, as I feel inadequate, but I pray that you would speak to us from your word this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We heard about two powerful women in the Old Testament in our Bible reading, Jael and Deborah. And none of you mothers today are called in a way that they were. But nonetheless, all of you have a real and special calling. A keeper at home. You can guess where I get that title. You can turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We find Paul exhorting Titus to teach and instruct men and women, brothers and sisters in the church, in the practical matters of life. And so let's start reading in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon is where we're at. It's just this little book stuck in between 2 Timothy and Philemon, and then Hebrews. The Epistle of Titus, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So as I mentioned, Paul's exhorting men and women in the most practical areas of life. And he goes on to address young men He addresses old men. He addresses young men. He exhorts older women, and he exhorts younger women as well. And verses 3-5 are for the women. Now, as I look at what is said to the older women and what is said to the younger women, I ask the question, well, what's aged women? What does Paul have in mind? What age are we talking about? And I don't really have an answer for that. Later we will be in 2 Timothy, and we will see that the year 60 years of age is brought up. But I don't know if that's what's necessarily meant here by aged women. But what I do see as I look at these, at the list of things that are given for older women and for younger, it does seem that the older women are those that are no longer caring for children, or at least young children. The things that are given there suggest that they now have time and they have opportunity to serve outside the home. And so they're exhorted to be teachers of good things. They have time to be a blessing in the church that way, to be teachers. They're admonished to not be false accusers, because a woman that her children are now grown, there is a very easy tendency to fall into the trap of gossip and meddling into things that are none of our business. And so they are admonished about that. The young women, what is told them is clearly because they are caring for children, young children in particular. You know, these are women that recently, not too many years ago, had their world turned upside down. In a few short years, they went from being an excited, beaming bride, thrilled about what God was doing in her life, to being a mommy and a baby with toddlers, and life is overwhelming, or becomes overwhelming very quickly. Feelings of weariness, inadequacy, fear about the future, fear for children, frustration, and maybe even anger, guilt, and sometimes even hopelessness. But even in all that, they can remember clearly, young mothers remember very well the years just prior, when there was freedom, when there was excitement, when life was bursting with new thrills and enjoyment. And with that comes the temptation of resentment, to resent my calling as a mother, your calling as a mother. And so Paul's exhortation to young mothers in verses 4 and 5 is to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good and obedient to their own husbands. To have a sane and sober mind, to have a disciplined mind, to be able to gird up the loins of your mind and be temperate and disciplined is really what Paul is talking about here. And to focus on the family, your husband and your children. To be self-controlled. Now, the things that are given here are all very important, and we could spend a bit of time on each one of them. But today I want to pull out, as my title suggests, keepers at home. a keeper at home. And so the focus is on younger mothers, younger women. But notice that the exhortation for young men, young women to be keepers at home is not given directly to them. The Apostle Paul gives it that he's actually talking to the older women and he's telling them how they should behave. And then in that he says, and you are to teach the young men, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be keepers at home. And so this exhortation is actually for the older women. Very interesting. I find that noteworthy that the exhortation is given to the older women and not directly to the young women. Maybe, if we have time, we can follow up with a few thoughts about that. A keeper at home. I would like to consider a keeper at home with three general headings. Number one, the definition of a keeper at home. What is it? What defines a keeper at home in the biblical sense? Secondly, the mission of a keeper at home. What is the calling of a mother? And we're going to no way exhaust that this morning, but we'll at least skim over a few things of the mission and calling of a keeper at home. And number three, a sobering one, and that is the demise of a keeper at home. Because I think it's important as mothers that you recognize that you are in a battle. There is a sincere effort or a great effort made by Satan and the works of darkness to destroy motherhood. And I think it is valuable to recognize that. And maybe we can just look at a few things briefly and how that may affect you in your life. Number one, the definition of a keeper at home. Keepers at home, here in this text, is one Greek word. It's not a phrase as it is here in English. It's one word, and this is the only place that word is used. So we can't go to a bunch of other verses and to try to figure out a greater meaning to this word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. But it simply means a stayer at home and one that's domestically inclined, or a housekeeper. But as I looked at this word further, I soon realized that the Greek word is actually a compound word. Maybe I'll just write the word for keepers at home. It is if you can pronounce that, very good. Oikorgos, or something like that, with the emphasis on the last syllable. But it's a compound word, and there are two other Greek words. The first one being, I'm not writing big enough, this word. And the second one being now, this word does show up many times in the Bible. And it means simply a dwelling or a house. But it goes a little further than that because it can also imply the family or the people you live with. And so it's very similar. This word is very similar to our English word home. Because you understand that the home, when we refer to the home, we may be referring to the physical place one lives, but many times that we're implying something much more than that, and we're applying to the family unit or the people that live together in a specific place. This word is not really found in the Bible by itself, other than other compound words like this one, but it means a guard or a watch in like a military sense. And especially there's a sense of the idea of a watch while the primary, one of primary responsibility is gone. And in this case, that would be the husband and father. When he is not there, the wife is a watch, or she is a guard, a keeper of the home, looking to the needs of the family. And so we have the English word homemaker, and I think it's very similar to this Greek word, although it may be a little bit weak on that watchful, guarding part. A homemaker. Responsible for the emotional and physical needs of the family. I'd like to turn back just a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at some verses here pertaining to widows that give some very similar exhortation. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, as I mentioned, this is speaking about widows, but we see some of the same principles as we did in Titus. And if I understand this correctly, Paul is telling Timothy that widows that are 60 and older, that have a testimony of a life of a disciplined life, a life of good works, that those widows are eligible to receive support from the church in, I believe, a very complete sense. But he warns and says, but Don't be so quick. Don't do that for the younger widows. Because it's going to make it too easy for them to slip into that trap of becoming busybodies and being a part of gossip and all the things that go with that. Very similar to what we saw in Titus. He says it would be best if they get married and if they bear children and guide the house. And so again, this is for widows, but I think we can apply it to all women. Guide the house. Now, again, we have another Greek word that is unique here and it's only used one time. But it's a very similar word. And it means to rule the family. So being a keeper home doesn't just mean taking care of the physical house. It means taking care of the family and to guide the family. Being a keeper home is being a keeper at home, is clearly more than just washing dishes and floors and keeping the house in order. It is also the emotional, physical well-being of the family, those dear children. Now, the context gives us some basic definition. Remember, we're defining what it means to be a keeper at home, what a keeper at home is. The context gives us a real basic definition. In 1 Timothy 5:14 here says that the younger women marry and bear children and guide the house. Marry and bear children. In Titus, it says to love their husbands, to love their children, and that they're also to be keepers at home. And so, a keeper at home is one that is married and has children. And we say, well, that's obvious. It is obvious, but the point is that there is a calling, there is a role that only a mother can fill. The girl that watches your children while you spend time away is not a keeper at home. That's a babysitter. She cannot and will not be a keeper at home. God didn't put her there with that purpose. The young lady that cleaned up the house for you, it was a blessing, but she's not a keeper at home. She's a maid. They have their place, but she's not a keeper at home. The older woman that your children, woman that your children love so dearly and can't wait to go see again, she's not a keeper at home. She's their grandmother. Maids, babysitters, and certainly grandmas have a place. And many times it's a very good thing, and it's a good training for being a keeper at home someday. But they are not a keeper at home. There's a spot that only mommy can fill. Only you can be a keeper at home. Number two, the mission of a keeper at home. What is the mission or calling of a mother? As a single girl, you may have been used by God to serve Him in many ways, like on the foreign mission field, or in the inner city in Pottsville, or in a nursing home or a hospital. And there's so many ways that God uses single women. And that's a blessing. And as a mommy, as a mother, you might still find yourself, at times at least, on a foreign mission field or in the city. But it's extremely important that you do not confuse and that you separate and understand that your primary mission is a keeper at home. And I realize that I'm not saying anything new to anyone here today, and I hope that maybe just hearing a preacher talk about these things can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Your children and husband need you, and all others come after them. Let's consider some of the needs of your children. And I by no means have a complete list here today, but just a few of the basic ones. Your children need love and affection. Love and affection. hold and cuddle that little baby. Don't be pressured. There's an extreme pressure out there, and sometimes it comes right within, and we feel it within ourselves. Don't give in to that pressure to just get on with life. To somehow manage this baby in such a way and move on. But allow those mothering instincts of nurturing to have their God-given place. And as the child grows older, continue to show affection and love to your children. Loving words. And we could talk more. Maybe more specifically, your children need your presence. Children need the security of home and a mommy that's in the home. And yes, sometimes it's good and right to go away. And sometimes we take the home, the children, away from home. And you're still a keeper at home even while you're doing that. And there's a place for that. You're not at home right then. But as a keeper at home, it's important that you spend a great portion of your time at home. Quite a few, or a number of years ago, I don't remember when it was, the Raymer family had, I guess we had shared our location with our phones with each other. At least quite a number of us had. And it wasn't really a big thing. But one day, I happened to hear one of my wife's brothers talking with her, and he said something to the effect of, "Yeah, you know, Michelle, some days I like to just glance at that, and it's just interesting to see where all the family is, scattered all over Lebanon and Berks and wherever, all over the state some days or further." But he says, "You know, Michelle, I can always count on it. She's at 403 Wallaber Road." And I overheard this, and I don't know how my wife felt about that, but I have to admit, I was kind of proud. I thought that was just great. I don't know what all he had in mind, telling her life is boring, or I'm not sure. But that was wonderful. That's what it means to be a keeper at home, at least part of it. Well, speaking of phones and our technology, it's possible for us to be at home and be home almost all the time and never really be fully present at home. And I think this is something that we face as a young generation, us younger ones, that there's probably been nothing quite like it up until this point. Yes, I think mothers in the past have been challenged with technology and television and all those things in society. But to have communication so handy in so many ways takes our attention. And so ask yourself, do my children have to compete with my phone? And I'm embarrassed to say, and I suppose that even in a healthy situation, something like this could happen, but there's been times that I've had a toddler shove my phone away from me. And I don't say that with any bit of pride at all. It made me think. Yes, our children do need to learn that they can't just selfishly demand mommy's attention at any time like they did when they were just toddlers and babies. At some point, they do have to learn that mommy's on the phone. We need to allow her to be in quiet. And we need to teach them those things. But as young children, are we present in the home? They do need to feel your presence as a normal way of life. There is a place for babysitters to help, but children need mommy. You need to be present. And what are the guiding principles here? I don't know totally, but I do know that this is something that husbands and wives should be talking about a lot, regularly. Do we use a babysitter this time, or do we take the family? Do we take time for ourselves? Sometimes that's necessary, and we need to do that. Or are we in a time right now as a family where we need to just wait a little while? These are really real discussions that husbands and wives need to be having. With the primary concern being the spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being of our children. You know, you can be a keeper at home, you can be a keeper and not be at home. You can be a keeper of something else. And you can be at home and not be a keeper of the home. Those are all challenges. And I encourage you in being a keeper at home. Your children need affirmation from their keeper at home. Your children need to know that they please you. And this is something that I feel like I am learning so much in, and there's almost a sense of shame as I talk about this because I feel that I've been so ignorant. But you know, just the smile of affirmation for children goes so far. Even when correction is given, are they given that smile of assurance that, yes, mommy loves me, daddy loves me? And I wish I would have understood this more, and I probably still don't understand. I know I don't still don't understand this like I should. But I guess I'm not sure why, but I just kind of had this subconscious way of thinking that children, if they're misbehaving or if they're on the verge of misbehaving, or if you're sitting in church and there's that, you know, this could go wrong at any moment, that they're met with a stern face to continue to remind them that they had better behave. And I've learned that you can really frustrate your children. And some of you probably wonder what took me so long to figure that out. But I'm learning, and I'm just sharing what I'm learning. Assure them with a smile. As they grow older, give words of affirmation, but not just for what they did that you liked or that you appreciated. Or soon your children will feel that it's about doing things for mommy and doing things for daddy. Make sure they understand that they are appreciated and loved just for who they are, for being your child. Training. Your children need training from their keeper at home. Toddlers need to learn the basics of obedience. And I know we just went through, Steve Ebersole was here and appreciated his teaching so much. But we're talking about mothers and young children. The basics of obedience. Consistent discipline is key. However, your child needs to understand or have some sense of what is expected. And again, this comes out of the things that I am learning. And so it's not complete. But if correction comes again and again and again, and a child does not understand or does not see what it was fully that brought the correction, again, we can bring so much frustration. And while I agree with Brother Steve when he was here, how he taught that as toddlers and as young children, it's a time of training, not necessarily teaching. I agree with that full-heartedly. But there does have to be just enough of a teaching element that they have at least a basic understanding of the expected behavior. And so, doing something with them. Come to mommy. What does that mean? To walk towards mommy. And sometimes we have to actually help that little boy or gal walk to mommy. To shut the door. Show them, repeating the words, what it means to shut the door. To give it to daddy. To sit down. To hold my hand. That's something that we've tried. I'm not sure if we've always been successful, but we've tried with all of our children to have them surrender at any time, at any place, in any situation, to be content if we hold their hand. And when a child understands but does not obey, there must be consistent loving discipline. We can't ignore it. Your children need training. Your children will benefit greatly and need a house in comfortable order. And I didn't put this one at the top of the list because I think the other things we were talking about are more important. But not a house that's immaculate, in a state of perfection, but it's in comfortable order. Your children grow up with a sense of order and want to, in the long run, help make order in the home. These are needs of your children. And Lord, help us. Lord, help you mommies as you strive to meet those needs. And I know it's many times very overwhelming. Number three, the demise of a keeper at home. Recognize that you're in a battle, mothers. Satan wants to destroy and take out every keeper at home. If he can, he will keep them from ever becoming a keeper at home in the first place. But if they get there, if they get to the place of being married, if they get to the place of having children, he will do his best to see to it that they do not achieve or become a true and genuine keeper at home. Feminism has marked the 20th century. And it, like it or not, has affected all of us. Women in society, there's that pressure that women must perform. Women must rise to the top. It's maybe not said that way. There's been in the past times of the girl power slogans and all those things. And we aren't going to take the time to talk about what feminism is and what it all does. But I just thought I would mention a few ways that you might be feeling just a little bit of the effect of feminism. And we won't take the time to explain exactly how that is. But suppressing those mother instincts God gave girls, the female gender, a desire to have children and to nurture them. It's a God-given desire. And you know how it is with the God-given innate desires that God gives to us. The world and Satan, the powers of darkness, take those things and they either try to warp, distort them, or to counteract in some way. Like our sexual desires. When it comes to motherhood, the desire, that natural desire of mothering, is a perfectly good and right thing. There is nothing wrong with it. But the world puts this pressure on us, and it has affected our thinking, and probably even my thinking, in ways that we don't realize, that you're not a real woman unless you, in whatever situation you are, even in your place as mothers, suppress that desire, in however small or great forms, that desire to nurture and mother, suppress that, and to give place for greater things, bigger things. In the world, women are career women. We don't have that so much here. But we may have other things. Just recently, I walked onto a plane, and as I usually do, I always glance to the left as I walk in and took note, and there was a woman in the right seat. Now, I've always enjoyed aviation, and I know that throughout the past century, there have been many, numerous, famous female pilots. Women are totally capable of flying an airplane. But God did not create women to be a career woman. That's the problem. I felt perfectly safe in that airplane. Oh yes, I realize sometimes we might joke about it. We need to be careful with those things, that we're not demeaning women. But it might be okay at times to joke with our sisters or our wife about their capability to back up the truck or whatever it might be. But they are capable people. And we need to realize that and understand that. And I felt perfectly safe there. But anyway, in the world, suppressing that desire to have children, to mother them, not having children, and if they do have children, take them to the daycare, leave them there, and pursue the career. But what happens in our world where we live? There seems to be that pressure that there's greater things. There's service that you should be giving to mission efforts, to good things, wonderful things. And if you do indeed have time with careful consideration, maybe there's place for some of that. But we can neglect our children, even unnaturally, for good things, for greater things, as it were. The greatest thing, mommy, is to care for your children. There's that pressure that you should do it. There is just so much pressure that could cause us to forget our primary responsibility as to our children. And as we take on more and more projects, as we agree to do more and more things for other people or for other purposes, there's the thing that will happen is that the most urgent takes priority over the most important. The most urgent. And this is very real. As I prepared for this sermon, it became an urgent matter yesterday. And it took priority over my children. As mommies, as husbands, there's a level of where our work and our other duties, we have to constantly struggle with that. But as mommies, it needs to be even more clear in your mind that your children need to take priority and to be careful about the urgent matters that take priority over the most important. You know, you probably won't look back and say, I wish I cleaned the windows more often. I wish I did this project more or that. I wish I scrapbooked more. Oh, you might say that in some sense. But really, that's probably not so much the things you'll be likely to say. Rather, you might look back and wish you took more time to read them books or to push them on the swing, and on the list goes. You see, mothers in other places and times have faced hardship. Even today and in history, things like starvation. We've all seen those pictures of a mother sitting with her children. There's nothing to do. She's sitting there. She's not busy because there is nothing to do. And she's hungry and her children are hungry. We've all seen that. It's a sad sight. That's real for some. Things like war, persecution on the Christian church. It has affected mothers. But for you, the pressures are totally different. You're given everything. You have running water. You have electric appliances. You have supermarkets. You have electronic communication that we were talking about. You have it all. But that is actually becomes the problem. Because not only do you have it all, you also have that one more good thing that you really should do. It's always there. And so I think Satan, I think our society, that pressure is on mothers right here in America that you need to perform, you need to do. You can be it all. You can do and be it all. And the truth is you can't. But you can be a mommy. Mommy guilt. Paralyzing mommy guilt. What do I mean? A mommy's work is never done. Never. There's always more to do. And with that, it seems impossible to ever do it right. To do it perfectly right anyway. And in all that pressure, sometimes we get frustrated with our children. Sometimes we might even get outright angry. And you know, where we recognize that you're not perfect and that you make mistakes. And sometimes it's necessary to apologize to your children or to your husband. Take responsibility, not in a demeaning yourself way, being hard on yourself, but recognizing that the way I act is not the way I want to be. And just make that thing right. But don't beat yourself up again and again with that mommy guilt where you don't even know what it is that you're trying to accomplish. You just know that it isn't right. Take verses like we've read this morning and just do a simple check and try to be honest. Try to look into your heart, regardless of the circumstances, and ask yourself, do I really love my children? Do I really love my children? Do I love my husband? Are they first? And try to honestly discern that, yes, not being hard on yourself, but yes, I do. Or maybe you would find that, no, here's evidence that maybe I don't fully and I need to give something up here. But if I love my children, then, and yes, I know I'm giving them priority. They are first. And sometimes in all this pressure and bustle and hassle and noise and children that are demanding and pulling on my skirts, realize that I love them. They are first. They are priority. Just relax. It's okay. Don't be paralyzed with mommy guilt. I mentioned at the beginning that older women, as Paul gives it, are to be teaching these things to younger women. And I do believe that it is God's will for older women to teach the younger. And I realize that time and space changes, and the way the young mothers do things today and the things that have been discovered in the medical world or whatever it is, that things change, and suddenly an older mother finds herself maybe not quite so able to relate to a young mother. I realize all those things. But children are still children and mommies are still mommies. And those basics, not much has changed. Excuse me. And I believe that you have much wisdom and experience. But sometimes, this is just my observation. And I'll just put it out there, just to put you at peace on this, that I didn't get this idea all from my wife. I've heard her talk about it, but I've actually read other sources that talked about this very thing. And I'm not necessarily, I don't have anything here specific necessarily in mind, but I just know, I think that this can be a tendency. Sometimes it's not happening, the teaching of older women to younger women, it might not be happening quite the way it should. And I know that female relationships can be complex sometimes. I get all that. But I think sometimes that maybe this area gets a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. And one thing is that young mommies, you need to be open and try to be vulnerable as best you can to input from older ones. And we should probably talk about that more. But a word for you older women, I'd just like you to think about one thing, and that is the mothering instinct that you have been given and you still actually have. And there's an interesting part about those natural tendencies, that love for children, and we all see it. You can go to an old folks' home, to those older ladies, and they still love and adore those children. But in mothering, in that natural instinct, there seems to be, possibly put there by God, a tendency to forget the hardships that go with it. And sometimes it's really obvious. I wonder how many of you husbands, after your wife gave birth to a child, they looked at you and said, I'm never doing that again. Only a few years later, they desire to hold and cherish another baby. I think God put that there. Interestingly enough, then, when we get older and our children move along, we forgot the hardship and some of the trials that I was describing that a mommy of little children goes through. What am I saying? Am I pointing a finger at you, older moms. No, not at all. I'm just simply saying that the more you can try to remember, even though that forgetter seems to work well, of those kinds of trials and difficulties, the more you can remember and think about what it was like, and to show younger mothers that you remember at least some things of what it was like, I think it will go a long, long ways. I think it could be a tremendous blessing. And I realize we can't remember everything. You know, it's really easy to give those comments like, oh, just enjoy them while they're young. What does that mean? Is it that horrible to have teenagers? No, we know that's probably not what you mean. You mean that it'd be nice to take your children back there and do some things over again or whatever. But just some thoughts of what and how we can relate together. Encouragement, I trust, I hope it can be an encouragement. Well, we talked about a keeper at home, the definition of a keeper at home. The keeper at home is a mommy. She's a married woman with children, and she is responsible to guard, to guide, and to keep not just the house, but the children. And secondly, the mission of a keeper at home. Your calling, mommy, is your children. I think I'd have to go home to see if it's still there, but I believe there's a little motto hanging somewhere around the one corner in our house that says something like, your mission field is within the four walls of your house. And number three, the demise of a keeper at home. We didn't near cover all the ways that Satan and the society around us pressures us, puts pressure on us to try to take out a keeper at home. But it is real. Don't be ashamed of your mothering tendencies, that natural God-given desire to mother children. Foster that. Wish my wife a special Mother's Day if you get a chance today, because I feel like I gave her Mother's Day to you all. I realized this morning as I was maybe a bit in a state of urgency, just putting a few last details together, that I had put almost no thought into her Mother's Day. And my thoughts were in our Mother's Day here this morning. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We praise you and worship you, Lord. Thank you for families. Thank you for parents who loved and cherished us when we were young. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, that our parents here today, would look on our responsibilities and realize the gift you have given to us in giving us children. Lord, I pray that we would seek to raise them, meeting their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, their physical needs. Lord, that as the scripture said, that your word, your name would not be blasphemed amongst those out there that would find fault with the church, with Christianity. But Lord, that we would be faithful parents, faithful mothers. Lord, I pray that you would bless our dear mothers today in a real way, a special way, as they care for those young children that one day will grow up. Lord willing, that each one would be a man and a woman of God. Lord, that you would bless each young child and give us wisdom in giving them direction for life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.